Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
They're going to set it at the 22. An attempt of 32 yards for the win.
Only 50% this season from between 30 and 40, as you saw.
It is right down the middle. And again, as we have mentioned time and time again, you are witnessing the greatest comeback in the history of the National Football League. Down 32 points with 13 minutes and 19 seconds left to go in the third. And the Buffalo Bills have engineered an unbelievable wild card come from behind, record-setting wild card playoff victory here at Rich Stadium.
Josh, do you remember Charlie Jones announcing games? Probably before your time,
I
right?
I do, yeah, no. I know his voice, though, like hearing highlights.
Yeah.
Like I can recognize
him. He was one of my favorites growing up. I really liked him. He had that voice that really resonates like that. And kind of, right? It's kinda, and because he was the guy on The Greatest Comeback, you think about it. I was not a big Todd Christensen fan. He was the color analyst that game. 32 years ago today, the Bills completed, at the time, the largest comeback in NFL history. It's still, to me, the greatest comeback in NFL history, given the circumstances and what was on the line. It was a wild card game against the Houston Oilers. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you here on WGR. And, of course, it is a Football Friday brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. We will have Bills head coach Sean McDermott shortly. We'll talk about what the plan might be as far as injuries are concerned and players and balancing the rest versus rust and things like that. And obviously only so many people that you can call up from the practice squad. Lots of stuff to kind of get into with that and to see what Sean is going to say about that and where some injuries stand heading into the game on Sunday. And, of course, a look ahead to the New England Patriots. Plus some, I don't know, what else? I mean, got Pro Bowl stuff. It's one of those days you can kind of just ask Sean a little bit of anything, I guess, because it's like, okay, well, you got this game, then you got next week. And, you know, he did say on Wednesday, I thought it was really interesting and revealing, and I'm glad that he did say this. And this is not unique to a coach. Like, it's not like he's the only one or the only organization doing it. But he did say, when asked, like, how are you preparing for your possible wildcard matchups? And he did say, look, throughout the year, you have advanced scouts. You have an advanced staff, which means you look at teams that you're going to play down the road and you do some scouting. And they're doing that with their three possible opponents. So it's not like suddenly on Sunday night, it's like, oh, my God, we're playing the Broncos. Get everything together. or, oh my God, we're playing the Bengals or Dolphins. It's not going to happen like that. The Bills are going to be very well prepared for whichever team they're going to face a week from either tomorrow or Sunday, which we don't know when that schedule will be. And then they'll get into all their meetings on Monday and Tuesday, and the coaches and the players come back and they'll present their game plan. They'll be fully prepared for that. So interesting, though, I think that, you know, he said that and revealed that, which was good to hear, I think, for a lot of fans who might be wondering about how all of that works. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Yeah, 32 years ago today, the greatest comeback in NFL history. So many people said they were there. So many people will tell you they were there. And they might have proof, because back then you didn't have, like today, with putting your ticket in your wallet on your phone, your iPhone. Beep, beep. Just click it, right? I miss those days of paper tickets. I miss those days.
I have a ton of them, like, tacked up on my wall. Like, you know, the pennants?
Yeah,
I do. Every game I would go to, I would tack the ticket up on the wall underneath the pennant from that season, because I'd get a pennant each year.
That's cool. You know, that's a really good idea. I would save things like that when I was younger, but I don't really have many of that anymore. I must have thrown them all out or whatever. Something happened. But I have all, like, my credentials over the years. Every game that I've been the sideline reporter for, whether it's preseason or regular season, I have my credential is saved, because each stadium is different. They give you one. You get it from, you know, security, Bills PR, and the Bills, you know, broadcast team, the people I get it from that take care of that. And we, the Bills Radio Network, I have a separate credential for every game. And some are like, they're rainy games, and it's like, oh my God, it's falling apart. It's interesting. Some are more hard, some are more soft. But what I do is at the end of the season, I take that particular year and put it all together in one folder, kind of. So I have everywhere from 2014 was my first year on the sidelines till now, and 11 years of just all of those credentials, which is really cool. But back in the day, speaking of these tickets, the coolest, though, Josh, was, and people can relate to this listening right now, when you went to the odd and you had a ticket to go to the game, your ticket was the color of where you were sitting. The gold, the red, the blue, or the orange, going from low to high. So if you were sitting in the reds, you had a red ticket for the game. You'd go and you hand it in, you'd walk through the turnstile, they would rip it in half, give you the other half. It wasn't even like a stub, it was literally ripped in half. You'd take the half, and then you'd go home and you'd have different colored tickets for the Sabres games.
That's really cool. I remember they used to do, for certain games, they used to do like pictures on the tickets. Like, I never went to the Sabres playoff game, but my dad had went to a few, and there's pictures, like, on it. It's got, like, Ryan Miller in there and playing goalie or whatever. Or, like, depending on, like, what the game was or who they were playing against, they have a picture from earlier in the year against that team. Like,
yes.
And that,
yes.
that was really cool, too, because you got, like, the individuality of that.
I remember that. That's right. I remember then. A lot of teams started going to that, which is they would show a picture of a player or a coach or something on their ticket. But yeah, that was a really cool way to kind of save those tickets from those particular games. And you could look back and say, oh yeah, and mine were always pretty much orange. I mean, that's what we could afford. I was a kid, and you'd go to a game, and the oranges were cool to go sit up top for like $7.
Those were like steep seats.
Yes.
Because I'd never made it into the odd either, because, I mean, right, it was before my time. But I always remember hearing stories about that, where you're like standing on the wall, essentially.
You're looking straight down, right? It was pretty cool. So yeah, some good memories today. It's also the couple days ago, few days ago, obviously, was, you know, New Year's Eve, was the anniversary of the Bills breaking the drought, the longest playoff drought in North American sports at the time, 17 years. The Bills go to Miami that weekend, and of course they win. And then in the locker room, you're waiting for, or outside we were, the media, waiting for the other games to finish. And of course we know what happened, Andy Dalton and Tyler Boyd, and they score. And then there was the celebration in the locker room. You've seen videos. I posted some, then getting on the plane, coming back, and all of those celebrations as well. Sean McDermott was asked about that. Now I'll ask him again a memory or two about that as we get to him right now on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Here is the Bills head coach.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
And Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins me on the West Her Hotline right now. Good morning, Coach. Happy Friday to you.
Morning, Sal. Happy Friday as well to you.
So we were just talking about some memories. A couple of them I want to bring up. You were asked the other day about the breaking the drought, the night of breaking the drought. You had a fantastic long answer, I think, that was really cool about, you know, that night and coming off the plane. One thing I wanted to ask you that wasn't asked on Wednesday was, do you remember being on the sidelines? I'm the sideline reporter, and I saw fans yelling to players the score of the games going on. Like, did you know that was happening during the game that night?
No, I didn't. Honestly, I had Matt Warzyk, my assistant, giving me the updates of the two games that were of importance to us. But I don't usually hear that. But that's pretty fascinating to hear at this point.
And what that was the other part of it, which was, were you staying in contact with what was going on in the other games? You kind of have to coach your game, but you certainly have to try to be cognizant of what's going on.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was definitely, you know, kind of balancing our game and also being aware of what was going on with those other two games. Just, if for nothing else, you know, how we were needing to handle our game maybe,
sure.
But also just to be out in front of it for when our game ended as to how, you know, I wanted to address the team. And, it was a pretty interesting evening.
And then let's go way back. 32 years ago today, Coach, the Buffalo Bills had, at the time, the largest comeback in NFL history. I still believe it's the greatest comeback in NFL history based on the stakes of being a wild card game. And I know you weren't attached with the Buffalo Bills at the time. Do you remember that, though? You and I are about the same age. Do you remember that particular weekend and that comeback or anything around it?
I do. I was growing up then and a fan of football, and then in this case, watched quite a bit of that game and watched that whole thing unfold. And pretty cool now to be a part of it and attached to this organization.
Yeah, very cool for sure. There's only 80,000 people that were allowed to be there, Sean, but we hear from 800,000 people who say we're there. So, you know, everybody says that they were at the game. All right, let's get into your game here against the New England Patriots on Sunday. Let's get, first of all, to our Barnes Firm injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Is there anyone you know, injury related or otherwise, that won't be playing on Sunday?
Terrell Bernard will not play. Ruled him out somewhat earlier in the week. He'll practice a little bit today in a limited fashion. Curtis Samuel, Damar Hamlin, Cam Lewis, Taylor Rapp, they will all be limited today. Most of those guys are expected to play. We'll see on Curtis. He'll probably be listed as questionable at the end of the day today.
On Terrell, Coach, how do you feel about his progress? Obviously, you have a bigger picture in mind for next week with him to be able to be available for your first playoff game. How do you feel about that situation?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it. Honestly, the same question I asked our trainer yesterday afternoon, and he feels good about it. And so because of that, I feel good about it. I think TB is going to be ready to go at this point for next week.
We did talk about, and you've acknowledged, that Josh Allen will start in this game. He'll be out there for a very limited amount of snaps because he will obviously extend his starting streak. What about the starting offensive line? Do you have a plan there? Anything you'd like to reveal? I mean, if Josh is out there, are they going to be out there? How will all this work? You only have certain numbers, obviously, which get a little bit tricky how you need to play this.
Yeah, I mean, our starting O-line is not – they're going to be dressed, most of them, but they will not be out there, ideally. It'll be a lot of those guys who've been busting their butts to, as backups all year long, and so we're going to give them an opportunity to perform and see what they can do.
And then you talked about some of those guys getting a shot. This is a really interesting week for these guys, right? Can you take us into some of the guys who don't normally get a chance to play, who are going to get some more extended time, and what those conversations are like with them, and obviously from a team aspect to win the game, but also, hey, putting your best foot forward on film going forward for this organization or their careers?
I mean, there's a lot of – it's an interesting week. It really is, and it seems like every year when you're in this type of situation, it gets even more interesting and things you're trying to balance, things you're trying to deal with. And number one, we want to win the game. Number two, and then beyond that, there's a lot of things that come into play. There's some guys with certain incentives that come up, and it seems like that's becoming more and more relevant year to year. And then you've got guys who you want to look at. You'd love to bring – practice squad guys up as many as possible, but you're only allocated two. So there's a lot of you try your best to make everyone happy and trying at the same time keep things in proper order here in terms of what's important. So It's an interesting week, no doubt.
And then one thing that it seems is important to the guys on offense because they're embracing this is maybe possibly breaking the record of having 14 different players catch a touchdown pass. I find it fascinating how much they've really kind of leaned into this, and they really believe this is a cool team, you know, record if they can get a chance to break it. From your perspective, watching that unfold, how cool is that?
Oh, it's whenever you can. I mean, these records are built over a long, long course of time, and so it is just it's special to watch when you get a chance, or one of your players or your team, or in this case, an offense gets a chance to break a record that's been built over many, many years. And you know, Jimbo's got a chance to break a record.
Yes.
In this case, the record you're talking about already with the touchdown catches and. You know, I hope we get a chance to do all that. Certainly, again, we want to win the game and keep players healthy. But that would be a great added benefit if we can do some of those things, and a real special moment for our team.
Sean, what did you learn about the Patriots when you played them 2 weeks ago?
Well, I think they're doing a good job. You know, they're somewhat in a transition year, and those years are difficult. A lot of challenges. You're trying to get things figured out, who you are, what you have, what you don't have, what you need for the future. And I think Coach Mayo has done a really good job of, it seems like, steadying the ship. And it's not easy, of course, when you replace a Hall of Famer like Coach Belichick and what he's been able to accomplish. You know, being the next guy in is not easy. And so I think they've done a good job. It appears they have a good quarterback for their future, and been very impressed with some of the games that they've played over all this season.
Yeah, and on the quarterback, Drake May, he impressed me a couple of weeks ago. What do you see from the young quarterback and his growth over the film that you've watched from him, you know, maybe through the second half of the year?
He's got size, he's got arm talent, accurate, seems to understand, you know, what the defense are that are being thrown at him, which happens quite frequently to a young quarterback. A lot of coordinators try and put a lot of defenses or multiple looks in front of a young quarterback, and I think he knows where to go with the ball, which is sometimes quite a bit of the battle when you're young and new in the league here.
And finally, Coach, I want to just ask you about the Pro Bowl. You guys had quite a few guys named as alternates. Only two made the team, Josh Allen and Deion Dawkins. But we'll give those guys their props here. Connor McGovern, James Cook, DeMar Hamlin, Terrell Bernard, Reggie Gilliam, Ed Oliver, Spencer Brown, and Dalton Kincaid. I would think from all those guys, you know, there's other guys who everybody feels maybe, you know, should make it. But the one name that keeps coming up from Bills fans is Christian Benford. So I'd like to ask you a little bit about what you've seen from his growth and Christian Benford, the season that he's put together to help your defense.
Well, I think a lot of our players, Christian being one of them, deserved recognition that they didn't get. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. We all know that it's not just about one thing. There's other things that come into play. And at the end of the day, we've talked about it as a team. And, you know, look, it's some of us need to use it as motivation moving forward. And I think Shavers is a great example in a different way, but a similar connected way of, hey, you go back to work, you continue to work on your craft, you have great routines, you control your process, and that's all you can do, because that's, at the end of the day, you don't have a vote, and so you're kind of subject to, sometimes it's a PR game out there as well, so that is what it is, and it's unfortunate, but there's a lot of guys that do get recognized, and rightfully so, but there are some guys I feel like on our team that deserve more than they got.
And Sean, before I let you go, I just got the alert. Mike White has been signed from the practice squad. I asked you about this the other day, and you said it might be difficult, and you don't necessarily want to have Josh have to, you know, be the backup. But it appears, though, that Mike White will have a chance, obviously, to suit up and maybe play in this game.
Right. That's the plan. You know, he'll be suited up, and hopefully we get a chance to get him in the game. And I'm anxious and excited to look at Mike. He's done a phenomenal job with us, and I'm hoping that comes to fruition on Sunday afternoon there.
Safe travels to New England, and of course, we'll talk to you next week before your playoff game. Good luck on Sunday, Coach.
Sounds great. Happy New Year to everyone, and we'll see you there.
All right, thank you. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott. All right, very good. How about that? I kept him a couple minutes long, and I'm glad I did, because the alert just came over. The Bills have signed quarterback Mike White from the practice squad, and they've released linebacker Nicholas Morrow. So that means Mike White doesn't need to be elevated. He's on the active roster. Here's the tricky part. if you want to use that roster spot for somebody else after this game, you got to release Mike White and he's got to go through waivers. I don't know if any other team would really pick him up because only teams really in the playoffs, I think. I don't know. I have to think about how that is. Either way, let's just turn it to what it is here. This is Mike White getting an opportunity to be the backup quarterback to Mitch Trubisky, who actually will be the backup to Josh Allen, who will start but only play a few snaps, whatever those amount of snaps are. So Allen, he'll play whatever snaps. He'll get out of there very quickly. It'll be Mitch Trubisky, and then the plan is for Mike White to get a little bit of time. Good for him. So now the Bills still have two elevations they can make from the practice squad for this game. I'm still fascinated about who that could be. I mean, if guys, he said he thinks Curtis Samuel, we'll see where he go, what they can do with him, if he's going to play. That's KJ Hamler maybe, because Tyrell Shavers and Jalen Virgil have already been elevated three times, so they can't be elevated again. If I understand the rules correctly, I don't think things change week 18. Folks, honestly, you could find out at 4 p.m. tomorrow that they elevated Jalen Virgil and you're going to go sell. You told me otherwise. Look, these things get confusing sometimes. The way I understand the rules, they cannot be elevated again. Shavers, Virgil, or Zach Davidson, because they've already been elevated three times. I know a lot of you would like Frank Gore Jr. Maybe that comes into play now. But if you're going to play and not start, looks like the offensive line is going to not play. That's kind of what Sean said there, even with Josh out there. You're probably going to need one more lineman. That, to me, is Will Clapp. Maybe it's Richard Garage. Maybe it's Mike Edwards, the lineman, not the safety.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Safety, who's not on the team anymore. Good, interesting stuff there that kind of we can walk through. All right, speaking of walking through, thanks a lot to Sean McDermott for joining us here on a Friday, the final regular season radio session with Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Next week, we will talk about who the Bills are playing and who will that be. Well, listen, let's look at the schedule here and what this looks like going into week number 18. So tomorrow, I think the ideal situation for everybody, if you're a Bills fan, is Browns totally upset the Ravens. It's not going to happen, but that's the ideal situation. Look, it's happened before with backups. Now, I could say 2004, but the Steelers backups were still really good. Willie Parker, right? I mean, yes. And James Harrison. They beat the Bills when the Bills needed to win. This is not the same situation with the Browns and Ravens, but you never know what can happen. Bailey Zappe makes a couple big-time throws. You know, they focus on shutting Derrick Henry down. I don't know. That'd be ideal. It's not going to happen. But if that were to happen, the Ravens then would then suddenly have to be watching the Steelers, who would play for the NFC North against the Cincinnati Bengals. Here is the situation, everybody, okay? If the Denver Broncos win Sunday, they're playing at 4:25 p.m. at home against Kansas City. If they win, the Bills play the Broncos. Simple as that, next week. If the Broncos lose and the Miami Dolphins win, they're the next team up. They leap them, bam, they're playing the Bills next Sunday, the Dolphins. If the Broncos and the Dolphins lose, then we retro back to what happens tomorrow, because the game will be played first, with the Bengals and Steelers. Do the Bengals win that game? So, Broncos win, they're in Buffalo. Broncos lose, Bengals, Dolphins win, they're in Buffalo. Broncos and Dolphins lose, Bengals win, they're in Buffalo. All three lose, it's the Broncos. Got it? I hope so. I think the best matchup for the Bills is the Denver Broncos. That said, I'm looking at some stuff last night. They have a good defense. They have a lot of sacks. They get after the quarterback. I think the biggest reason why I would say it's still the best matchup, it is a rookie quarterback. They don't score a ton of points. They have to grind a little bit. They do make a few big plays. I think that's the best matchup for the Bills' defense to hold a team in check. Might not be the best matchup for the Bills' offense. That would be Cincinnati. But then you got to worry about Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and that whole group and what they're doing. But I think Chase Brown is questionable to play. I don't know if he's going to play in this game, Josh. I think he's questionable for the Bengals tomorrow night. How about the Steelers, the situation they're in? Listen, obviously they would love to win the division. That would require the Ravens to lose, right? I don't think that's going to happen. But if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're in a good spot right now as the 5 seed because you go to Houston wildcard weekend. If you lose, the Chargers could jump you and then you could go to Baltimore. There are people who would think maybe Pittsburgh wants that. They know Baltimore. I don't know. I'd still rather play Houston. Here's a question for you, though. If you're a Ravens fan, let's end the segment with this, Josh. If you're a Ravens fan, who would you rather play in the first round? The Steelers or the Chargers? From the outside looking in, you would probably say Chargers. But if you're a Ravens fan, I don't think you...
Man, that's tough. Because the Steelers...
I mean, from the outside looking in, you might say you'd rather play the Steelers. But if you're a Ravens fan, you've had trouble with this team. They're a division team.
Right.
I don't know if you want to play them.
Yeah, but the Chargers, though, they got something about them.
Like, I know.
Jim Harbaugh looks pretty good, and he seems to have been turning that team around. And
isn't that the same argument here of would you rather play the Dolphins or... Like, the Dolphins might not be that good, but they're still the Dolphins in your division, and you know them. I don't want the Bills to see them.
Yeah, but I think it's a little bit different because, like, the Steelers at least have had, like, some sustained success this season because the Dolphins, it's been very up and down, up and down. You don't know what you're going to get every Sunday. So that may make it more volatile, but the Steelers, it's more consistency, and that kind of would worry me more. But, again, I think Herbert has more chance to be explosive in that offense with the Rams this year. So if I'm the Ravens, I'd pick the Steelers.
Interesting. I texted Jeremy Kahn of our Odyssey sister station in Baltimore. I asked him this question. I said, who would Ravens fans rather face? He said, I think the Chargers because division games are always crazy. Isn't that funny?
It's totally understandable, but it's like, I don't know.
The ideal for the Bills would be the Ravens lose. They go down to the 5. Then you're avoiding them totally in round 2. They would have, they win.
But then they would get the Texans, right?
Then the Steelers, then they would get the Texans. Who cares? Then they got to go to Kansas City and not come here.
That's true.
In
round 2. You're right. I'm just thinking, like, then they basically get, like,
what? Then you have Baltimore, Kansas City in round 2, which is one of those teams is losing, right? So, anyway, real quickly, NFC, you know what you're going to have in the NFC? You're going to have probably 2 teams with lesser records going, hosting 2 teams with a lot of wins, like 13, 14 wins. 11, 12 wins, 12, 13 wins, something like that, whatever it is. Somebody with 14 wins is going on the road to possibly 9-8 team, at best 10-7. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Patrick Hammer joins us next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is time for a break. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Down. When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
All right. Patrick Hammer joins us right now on the Western Hotline. WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist. Hope you had a fantastic New Year. There you are. Sorry, I didn't click you on. Hope you had a fantastic New Year, buddy.
I did. It was kind of mellow, but we rang in the new year merrily, for sure.
What are you like me? I think we talked about this last week. You in bed early? What did you do this week? What did you do?
Again, it was just the idea of going hard and late. And when I say hard, I meant late. but lasting until about, 9:30, 10, because, like, I had to work the next day.
Yeah.
In the past that hasn't slowed me down, but this year it sure did. So it was pretty tame.
I just want to do some house cleaning here as you're on. We are also reading now that the Dolphins have said that Tua Tagovailoa is unlikely to play Sunday against the Jets, just so everybody knows, because obviously that could impact playoff scenarios with the Bills. If the Broncos lose, then the next team in line would be the Dolphins. And if they're playing a game without Tua, that might diminish their chances a little bit. But Snoop Huntley, who started last week, he obviously won against the Browns. He would start this week against the New York Jets. So we'll stay on top of all this stuff, as well as the weather that's going to happen not only this week, but next week. Let's start with this week. I will tell you, when the schedule comes out every year, I really love going to New England and even Providence, where we stay oftentimes this time of year. The holiday season, especially around Christmas, not even as much New Year's, it's a really like fantastic area to visit this time of year. So as long as the weather is generally, if it's cold, that's fine, but no precipitation and all that. It's just, there's a lot to do and it's really cool.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those years. I mean, it looks very quiet, cool. Temperatures in the 30s, but no real weather impacts to deal with. So if you are heading there, this is not going to be a weather game. This is going to be a quiet game, and it looks like if anything, there will be a little bit of a breeze to contend with, but no rain or snow, despite, you know, some of the active weather that you're going to be hearing about in the coming days nearby. There's actually kind of a beefy winter storm that's going to be approaching the East Coast over the weekend, but it should stay south of the area. So all in all, it's looking pretty good for football.
I don't know. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if you could maybe look in a little bit. Tomorrow, you have a couple of really interesting games, especially in Baltimore. Is that bad weather in Baltimore tomorrow? I thought somebody told me that, but I'm not really sure. That game starts at 4:30 p.m. between the Browns and Ravens.
Yeah, I just want to double check, because a lot of our focus has been on the storm that's going to be moving basically across the country Saturday into Sunday, that will affect places like Kansas City.
Okay.
Pretty hard, actually.
Really?
But for tomorrow, I do not see any weather impact in Baltimore. And again, Kansas City plays.
Okay, so Kansas City, let's tell me about this. So Kansas City plays Sunday at 4:25 in Denver, though, in Denver.
Oh, in Denver, okay. It will be cold. There will be some snow showers around. But this larger high-impact storm will be east of there.
Okay.
So it shouldn't have too much of an impact on that game in Denver.
Will it have an impact on the Dolphins at Jets game at 4:25 p.m.?
On Sunday,
yes.
The answer is no. It should be south of there and arrives in the East Coast on Monday. So I think weather should be okay there too.
All right, what are we looking at here next week, into the week? And then, of course, very important, we do not know the date of the Bills' first wild card game. It will either be Saturday or Sunday next week. It's not going to be Monday night, folks. The NFL puts a 4-5 matchup there. That's not the Bills. They do that on purpose. Okay. And the reason is, Pat, to educate everybody about this, the reason why they only put a 4-5 matchup on Monday night is because that game won't have like an impact on other teams. Like, is, you know who you're playing. You know what I mean? Like that game, the winner of that game knows who they're playing, and the team that already won knows they're playing the winner of that game. It doesn't impact like three teams. So since you're already late in the week, they don't want to do that to anybody. So the Bills won't play Monday night. They'll either play Saturday or Sunday against either Denver, Miami, or Cincinnati.
And isn't it most likely going to be Sunday? I mean, just given that it's the Bills and they're going to want to add a better, you know, the prime time slot.
Do you want my take on it? Here's my prediction, okay?
What's that?
If it's the Broncos, they're playing Sunday at 1 p.m. This is my prediction. If it's the Bengals, I think it's either Saturday night or Sunday night.
Yeah.
Because it's Joe Burrow and Josh Allen.
And does that determine who covers it? Is it a Nance? Like, I understand that the CBS and the Nance number one and the number one broadcast team is likely going to do the Bills game, but I guess it depends on who they're playing. Right?
So none of that is determined. What's going to happen is next week for the playoffs, wild card games, there's going to be on, let me look, hold on. I think so. Prime has a game, I believe, or Netflix. It's like there's all different ways. Here we go. I got it right here. All right. So let's get to this. The wild card would be. All right. I thought. Okay. Looks like. Oh, all three networks are in play. Prime, CBS, or Fox could have any of these games. So there's not a predetermined who's getting Saturday, who's getting Sunday time slot. That will be determined on the actual schedule.
Okay, gotcha. All right. I have a buddy who works for CBS, and he was kind of uncertain, so that confirms that and where they're going for their wild card coverage. So I'm just glad it's not Monday. That was a conversation in the newsroom today. Like, oh, it's a Monday night.
Tell them Sal Capaccio told you it's not going to happen Monday night because they only put 4-5 matchup, the 4-5 on Monday night.
Hey, anytime your name is brought up in the newsroom, people listen. So I will definitely float that to for sure.
Well, tell Scott and Mary also I said hi. There you go.
I will. Right. And by the way, in looking ahead, to next week, a cold weather pattern is going to unfold for the rest of this weekend and into next week. There could be something brewing weather-wise by next weekend, but I can't hang my hat on any direct forecast at this point. I just know that cold is pretty much a given. But will we have snow? Will there be a storm nearby? It's a really chaotic weather pattern over the next 7 to 10 days. Cold for sure. But what kind of precipitation, if any, is still it's a tough call at this point. But we should prepare for it just in case.
All right. So going to be active. Is this like extending out? You've talked about this a little bit, because if they do win, they will have another game the following weekend, either Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, this is kind of the first, 2 to 3 weeks of January have looked cold for a while, and that's going to continue. Mm-hmm. There was a stronger signal for heavier lake effect snow around here. If you've noticed, we have lake effect snow warnings, in place in Western New York, but it's kind of in the traditional spots, ski country. That's where, a foot of snow has already fallen at Ellicottville in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And it looks like lake effect snows over the coming days will be kind of focused south of Buffalo, even though we'll get some here today a little bit. But as we head into next week and beyond, it does appear that cold versus mild will win out. And whenever that's in place and you've got a lake that's still at, 39 degrees or 40 degrees, mm-hmm. No signs of it freezing, that opens the window for a chance of some snow. And we all know what happened last year with playoff football, and, can't ignore that moving forward.
And that game was scheduled last year, Sunday at 1 p.m., and it was moved to Monday.
Yes.
I still believe, that obviously hurt the Bills playing the next week because they had a shorter week, had some guys injured like Terrell Bernard, who had a less day to recover. So all of that, man, just frustrates you when you think back on all of that. You know what I mean? All right, listen.
The most frustrating game to watch with all the injuries. My goodness. I mean, you were there on the field. I mean, it was just like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. All right, so real quickly here as we wrap up. At home here this weekend. You just told me about Foxborough this weekend, but at home here, if you're just bumping around at home, what's the weekend look like for people going out?
Yeah, so tomorrow will be kind of wintry. Not a lot of snow, but there will be some snow showers around. You get these little streamers that come off, whether it's Lake Huron or Lake Erie or Lake Ontario. And with that snow will come some wind. So it's going to be kind of a breezy to windy day tomorrow. It'll be chilly, temperatures in the 20s. But it won't be a lot of snow. It'll be manageable. So nothing crippling, but certainly a very typical January feel to Western New York, especially tomorrow. Sunday, maybe a little less snow. If you're up towards Lake Ontario, there may be a little more snow up there on Sunday coming off the lake there. But it's kind of a wintry week, but nothing too impactful. I will say for the ski business and for snowmobiling, this is really good stuff. They've needed some good, the years have been rather lean snow-wise in ski country. So getting the kind of snow they're getting, that's good for the ski industry and snowmobiling and all that. And there's going to be snow both days for those areas.
And that is Hammer Time for this week, everybody. Thank you very much, Patrick Hammer. Have a great weekend, and very much looking forward to talking to you next week. And we'll find out that schedule. And Friday, we'll still do our normal thing, getting ready for either Saturday or Sunday.
Sounds good, Sal.
All right, you got it. That is Patrick Hammer, WGRZ, TV2 chief meteorologist. Yeah, listen, don't look. Could the NFL at any moment say, no, we want this other game? Sure, they could do that to a Monday night. But since this whole Monday night wild card thing started a few years ago, it's always been a 4-5 matchup each of the last 3 years. And the reason is because the 4-5 matchup has the least amount of impact on every other team. All the other games would actually throw, you could be watching the game if it's a 2-7, going, well, who are we going to play? We got to wait to see who wins this. It could be the team that just played already on Sunday. It could be this team. That's not the case. A 4-5 matchup, they know who they're playing if they win, and the team that's already through will know they're playing the winner of that game. That's why you put the 4-5 matchup on Monday night, because it's not fair that late in the week and weekend for teams that not know who they're playing yet. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the schedule. And what else? Oh, yeah. Got a couple of real quick thoughts on, like, these games being played, on who it means what for, and how teams are approaching it. And even on the Eagles, if I can get to that with Saquon Barkley. We'll do that when we come back on WGR.